were en route yesterday, Brother Keith texted and said, can you do Sunday school? Sure. Get another opportunity to preach. And I appreciate the nice prophet's chamber you have here. Only one problem, the bed is too good. It's just almost too good, but don't change it. Just keep it like that. It might be a big problem tonight, this time zone. I don't know. That's why I stopped evangelism, because of crossing these time zones. One time we had a meeting that's just right on the border. We were still in Alabama, and I'm not sure why, but it seemed like there was a two-hour change or something, because it was spring. Okay, yeah, it was spring forward, and we crossed the time zone. I didn't realize it. So the preacher was banging on the outside of the motorhome. Hey, just make it sure you knew. Okay, calling through the outside. But anyway, I'm here in body. And I'll catch up maybe by tomorrow. Looking forward to this week. It's always just a wonderful thing to see kids the light bulb just come on, you know, when they get it, and they do get it. And you know, I'm looking across the room, seeing a few that when we first started, I think it's been 15 years now that you guys were a little bitty, you know, and grown up, and thankful to be a part of that. But just giving glory to God for it. And we're almost empty nest. We just have one left going to college in August. Hard to believe Caleb, the little one's 18. That's what happens. And then my eyeballs are 48 years old now. I had to start using these things. So anyway, John chapter 14, been going through the book of John in the church. As a matter of fact, 4 years. It was 4 years on the 24th that we were voted in as pastor of the home church there. And I was still, you know, on the road. As a matter of fact, it was Sunday night. We were in Tampa at a meeting on Sunday night when that happened, and then the next week we were here. And so first thing I started doing was working on the church constitution, just going through it, and that's where we were 4 years ago this week, and thank the Lord for His blessings. I may tonight spend some time just sharing a few blessings with you, but John chapter 14, a familiar passage, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And let's skip on down to verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. We may make it to verse 15. I'm not sure yet, but I'm going to go through this in two parts here. I want you to notice a phrase, the last four words of verse 2. A place for you. That's a good title, just looking at it like that, and just talking about heaven. As a matter of fact, I'm looking across this room, and there's some older folks' faces missing, you know, after a few years. But they're in a better place. Until it's our time, we should be about the Father's business. But, wow, in the current events that's going on, I'll be honest, my heart's a little troubled. I told the church, I said, you know, I don't care what the law is, we are only going to have two bathrooms. I don't care what they say. put me in jail. We're not making a combo restroom either. We're not doing that. We're just going to keep a male one and a female. I've been holding that bathroom sign up for years, preaching to juniors. And here it is. It's crazy. My heart's a little troubled. Last year, I had the privilege of praying at the U.S. Congress. And it's a formality. I didn't realize it. I thought everybody gathered up and, oh, we're all going to pray. No, they're all in their rooms. They might see it on the screen. I don't know. But there was about maybe 3 congressmen in the room when I was praying. And it's just, I mean, but it looked like it was all over the world, you know. God help America. But this is not our home. There is a place for us. Jesus here, the last words before the cross, and of course the book of John, it's inexhaustible. I think I'm actually, I don't even know how long I've been on it, but I think I'm on lesson 50. I've been on 58, and I'm in chapter 16 now, I think, that just going through the book there. And let's flip back and look at chapter 1. I want you to look at this just going in. Just hold your place there. But chapter 1 and verse 17, when Jesus came, let's look at verse 16. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know, any time in the book of John, or of course any time Jesus speaks, it's always grace and truth. There's always truth, it's always firm, it's always fair, but there's always grace. But if He's speaking from the angle of grace, it's always truth. It's always those two things as Jesus is speaking. Of course, the theme of the book of John is the deity of Christ, meaning that Jesus is God. You can't say He was God, you can't say He's going to be God, and that alone. You have to say He is God eternally. We believe that as Baptists, okay? We believe that Jesus walked this earth as God Himself. I and my Father are one. Now, if you don't believe that, you need to be saved. That's what it comes down to. Because He, Jesus, is God Himself. He's God the Son. Of course, we could spend a lot of time there, but Jesus, these are the last words. His last sermon thoughts before the cross. Why? He knows what's going to happen. He knows Peter is going. He even told Peter this. You're going to deny me 3 times. And they're all going to forsake. But listen, in the big picture, let not your heart be troubled. I'm preparing a place for you. Your heart, He says. So number one, He's trying to give some help for the heart. I don't know about you, but my heart needs help sometimes. It's easy to get depressed when you think about things that have happened in the past and think about things that are happening in the present, as I said. But He's trying to help. He said, there's no need for worry. The Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. We really can get sidetracked on this thing and sidetracked from the Father's business. We know that Jesus now is there. He's gone to prepare a place for us. Now, He's been working on it. I've heard this angle before. He's been working on it for 2,000 years. How long was creation? 6 days. Can you imagine what a 6,000-year project? I mean, we look at the beauty of earth, but you say, well, He just speaks. I don't know how it all works. But I just know He's preparing a place. That helps my heart. I know where I'm going. And when the trials of the job and the world and sicknesses and when all that's coming, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. Look at the big picture. It's always helping the heart. And then He said, my Father's house, number 2, hope in His house. Jesus is there. We'll be with Him forever. May I remind you about heaven? All tears will be wiped away. No more death. I don't know how to preach any other way but simple. And I love that phrase, the simplicity of Christ. But you know what helps my heart? knowing in his house, that permanent house, okay, no more. There's no more cemeteries. There's no more funerals. In our church, we just had two difficult funerals. One was in March, and just within 4 weeks later, we had another one. One of our faithful ladies, she worked in our jail ministry, nursery, faithful, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. She got on a horse, had her helmet on, and was thrown from her horse, hit her head, and was declared brain dead in just a few hours. And you're thinking, why? It always happens. A few weeks later, we were about to have our ladies' banquet, and one of our faithful men, I'm talking about the one that's at the doorkeeper, greets everybody coming in. And I had a family when it happened. We was praying. It was a week-long thing, and he was improving at first. And one family texted me, and they said, he's one of the reasons why we kept coming when we started visiting. You don't think this is important, but it is important to greet people at the door with the right kind of attitude. Yeah, that's important too. But he was just a magnetic, sweet little fellow about like this. Not much hair left. I mean, and so we were cooking, and he took some cooking classes. He's actually a retired pharmacist, and the little institute we have in our town offers certain free classes for senior citizens. So he took this cooking class. And so anyway, we're cooking, and one of our deacons is sick, and so he wasn't able to. He was the one that usually heads up the thing. So Brother Dick and myself, we were working this thing, and so he just looks at me, and he goes, "This is before anything happened, you know." And he just looked at me and goes, "I'm going to step out and come back in. Prepare to be bedazzled." Okay. So he steps outside, got something out of his car, and he comes back in, and he's got this new chef's shirt on with the buttons going down both sides like that. And we got a little emblem here. And I said, "I know the food is going to taste like it never has. It's going to be the greatest meal ever because of that shirt you got." But I mean, within 48 hours, he was in the hospital. His system went septic and started improving over a week's time, back and forth, the hospital. We're an hour away from the hospital, back and forth. But he didn't make it. I told him, I said, "You know what?" I told at the funeral, I said, "There's so many folks seem like it's going to heaven right now. I guess they just needed a new doorkeeper, a new welcomer up there. I mean, move over Peter, right? He ain't at the gate. Brother Dick's there now," is what I'm saying. There's hope. No more death. No more pain. The former things are passed away. There's no night there. I've used this lesson every time I've ever preached to kids. At some point during the week, I've used the lesson about heaven. And I heard one preacher say that Enoch walked with God. He was not. He just went to spend the day with the Lord. And since there's no night there, he's still spending the day with the Lord. One forever day in heaven. And we have that hope in the Father's house. I will come again. Is that not a promise? I will come again. Whatever you're under right now, it doesn't hurt to just back up and say, "You know what? Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said that. Heaven's coming. Let's try to shine the light and plant the seed, and hopefully there'll be a few others that we're influenced when we get there." He said, "I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Can it get any better than that? Being with the Lord. I'm fed up with this ungodly, wicked, filthy world. It's just enduring hardness, resisting temptation. It gets really old sometimes. And I say, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly." So he's helping the heart, he's hoping the house. And then Thomas has a question. He said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? The how. How are we going to get through this? We ask ourselves that question. The answer for the how. Jesus already said in the book of John, I am the bread of life. Are we hungering and thirsting for righteousness? He said, I am the light of the world in John chapter 8. There's the answer. I am the door, John chapter 10. I am the resurrection, John chapter 11. And then here, I am the way. He didn't just tell us about a way. He's the way. In his life, on earth here, he didn't just tell some truth and a big package of truth. He is the truth. And then, he didn't just make a way for everlasting life, even though he did that. He is the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There may be a whole lot of confusion on some other issues, but there shouldn't be any confusion on this issue. It's not Muhammad. He's not the way. It's not Buddha. It's not all that big old collection of gods in the Hindu world. It's not. It's Jesus is the way. Now, the difference with us is we don't cut off their heads if they don't believe. Okay? It's their choice. But force it on us, well, that's a whole other... We, like I said, it's getting frustrating. Mankind's way will not get in that... I want to read this missionary letter. I didn't even have this in the notes. It just hit my mind here. This week, I'm going to be talking about Jesus and peace and how he gives peace and peace and war. And anyway, this is a missionary that we support from Sri Lanka, and this is a neat thing right here. This little girl was, or she's not a little girl now, she's married now, but when she was a little girl at a vacation Bible school in Louisiana, she got saved during one of our vacation Bible schools. And when I found out they was coming, I said, yeah, come on, we're going to support her. We're going to support her. That was pretty exciting. Anyway, he says this, no matter where you are, you can just about always tell what religion someone is just by looking at them. Of course, he's in a Hindu area. But here's this statement. Everyone works very hard to gain peace in the afterlife. I've got peace in this life already. I got peace, not like the world gives, Jesus said. I've got peace in my heart that passes all understanding. I'm not looking for peace in the afterlife. I already got that. If it's everlasting life, you've got it now. Well, I'm not at peace right now. Well, that's a whole other lesson, because we are at war. We are to be a good soldier in Jesus Christ on the other side of that coin. But anyway, he knows the how. He knows how to get it done because he's the way. It's in the very first verse of this whole book. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, we do not have to live a life of confusion when God left us the answer for the how in this instruction book. So Thomas was a little confused. Of course, we know he was doubting later, but Jesus straightened him out. Then Philip had some problems. We're going to keep moving through this. Look with me down in verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father. Philip wanted a little more. And if you'll think back to the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus' glory shined, Philip was not there for that. You can look it up. I'm not going to spend time with that. Just know that. But he wanted to see more, which is a good thing. I hope we want to see more of Jesus. I'm talking about his power and his help and all those things. And so, Philip, it's a great question. I want to show us the Father. And there was a little lack of understanding, obviously. He said, we'll be satisfied if you just go ahead and show us the Father. Now, I'm that way too. I know we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight, but it wouldn't hurt once in a while. Okay, Lord, just show us something here. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. Whatsoever not of faith is what? Sin. Okay? So, we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. But Philip wanted more. There's nothing wrong with wanting more. He was an apostle. And he was the one that found Nathanael. We have found him. But Jesus was the one that found Philip. And if you'll, in most history sources, at the end of Philip's life, just some background that you can study, not in the Bible, but history, he traveled to an Egyptian city where, in the long run, he was eventually scourged, thrown into prison, and crucified in 54 A.D. He was martyred just like all the other disciples. But he wanted to see the Father just like he had seen the Son. That's what he's saying. Actually showing some spiritual maturity. He wanted to see more. But it was a lack of understanding. He didn't know this, but he was seeing the Father. When you see Jesus, you see the Father too. Otherwise, you're not believing in I and my Father are one. If you believe what Jesus said, I and my Father are one, when you see Jesus, you're seeing the Father also. You say, I don't understand that. How can you understand the Trinity? I'm glad that I can't understand God. He should be in that category of not being able to understand. I can describe it. We can get the book of theology down and go this, that, and this, that, and all the attributes of God and so forth. But even, you can't understand eternal. You can't do that. And it should be in that way. And the Bible says, get understanding. I know. But I'm glad that I've got to a point of understanding that I can't understand God. I don't have to. I know things about Him. I know the things that He wanted to share with us. And it's really inexhaustive. It just goes on and on. But when it comes right down to it, He's God. And we should remain in awe. We should remain. If we got, I got God all figured out. No, you don't. You do not. You don't. So, but He wants more. And so now, He asks Philip a question. I want to see the Father and I'll be satisfied. How long, verse 9, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Have you not seen this? How can you say, show us the Father? And then he tells him straight, verse 10 and 11, believe me, I'm in the Father, Father in me. You can realize this through the works, say. He's saying, believe me. The works prove that I am the prophesied Messiah. You know, with some he was giving the parables, but with the disciples he would explain the parable. But now there's not anything camouflaged here. He's saying it very straight. I and my Father are one. You see me, you see the Father. Philip, look at this, see it. You know, I think sometimes we beat around the bush and we get our own hearts troubled rather than just stick with the simplicity of Jesus Christ. Let me see if I can get to the main point. I'm okay. As we start into verse 12, he talks about greater works, greater works. Through His power, obviously, but I know this is hard to fathom too, but Jesus handed it, He said, you shall be witnesses. We can do the works of Jesus, and He even said, to an extent, greater works. And I look at that and just like, Lord, I mean, the last verse in this book says the things that Jesus did, even all the books in the world couldn't even, I mean, Lord, really, greater than that? Let's look at it together. Verse 12. Show the works there, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He said, I'm not going to be here. I'm leaving. Of course, later on he talks about the Comforter leaving us the strength and the power to go, and I'm looking at that thinking, am I the only one in a room like this? It's like, oh, come on, Lord, really? Greater works than what you did? It's a humbling thought. But are we willing? It's not complicated. You shall be witnesses. Plant the seed. Paul planted, Apollos watered. It all just comes down to that. And who gives the increase? We don't need to get discouraged if there's not an increase. That's up to the Lord. But we need to be discouraged if we're doing nothing. But how can this be done? Greater works, really? Huh? It's to walk with God as Jesus walked. He set the example how to do this. Keep your place here. Look at Romans chapter 16. Very end of Romans. You need to look at this verse. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. The power to him, okay? But his power can establish you for the promotion of the gospel. The word established there has the idea of strengthening and stabilizing. I don't know about you, but I kind of feel weak on it. Current events, like, really, Lord, come on. We're made the laughing stock of the world at this point. Yeah, Americans don't even know which bathroom to go to. We get a missionary come, and I'm embarrassed. I apologize. I'm sorry for our country. At least you guys over there know which bathroom to go to. It's getting crazy. I mean, really, it has gotten crazy. So we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We need this stabilizing. The gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to do both. The preaching of the gospel is the means for imparting strength and stability. Greater works through His power. That's what He said. Now we sometimes measure works by number of people attending church. Let's be careful with that too. Why is there always a remnant that's spoken up? You know, at the rate we're going, there may be just a remnant. Let's plan to be in it. Come on, Christians, God's people. Pressure gets a little hard. I can't hold up this standard from the Word of God, and so here we go. Let's go to the dance church. I'm going to save preaching for tonight. We're just teaching the Bible this morning. I'll hold back a little bit, give you that later. Greater works. And then in verse 13 and 14, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Back to John chapter 14. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Greater works. And then number two, glorify God in prayer. We can ask and He will do. Do we believe this? It's just this simple. It's a simple question. You believe in prayer. Raise your hand if you believe in prayer. Go ahead. Stretch your arm a little bit. Raise your hand if you believe in prayer. Okay. You believe in it. I know this is simple, but did you speak to Him this morning? Well, it's Sunday. I'm going to do it at church. Did you speak to Him on your own this morning? Lord, help me to learn something in church today. In Jesus' name, amen. Get the kids out of here. Let's go. We believe in prayer. And it's one of the hardest subjects to preach on. It gets me under conviction. But look at this promise. Is Jesus the truth? He says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, sometimes we ask things that are not glorifying to the Son. They're like, Lord, when are you going to send me that million? When are you going to pay off my house? Okay, are we really glorifying God in that kind of request? That's praying to our own consumption, our own selfish desires. This is talking about works that we should be doing. Getting the light, to let your light so shine. Lord, help me to make an eternal difference. That glorifies the Father. We're praying selfishly to our own desires. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You read that, but you don't believe it. I'm the same way. I mean, Lord, I mean, anything in my name? Well, I mean, it needs to be in His name. It needs to glorify Him. He says, I'll do it. Now, we believe that, right? I mean, we read it like, Lord, that's too much. He said it. It's the truth. How are we praying? And then the last thing, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I can't help but think about what Jesus said in Matthew 22 about the greatest command, that's to love God. He said all that to say, if you love me, keep my commandments. I'll try to wrap this up here. This is it. This is his last big lesson before the cross. And what does he say? If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, if I said, raise your hand if you love. Everybody in here loves God. I mean, you're here. You came to Sunday school. You came to the first hour. And you didn't do that to impress him. I don't think he's easily impressed. I've been around him for a while. He's not easily impressed. He's not. We are supposed to be here because we love God. Now, sometimes we come out of duty. I know that obedience is right, but if really for good rewards, for blessings, we're here because we love Him. And this is it. This is, let not your heart be troubled. I'm trying to help you. Love me. If you love me, keep my commandments. Everything, Jesus said this, everything hangs on loving Him. Everything in the Old Testament, all the law, everything hangs on loving Him. And the second is likened to it, love thy neighbor as thyself. And so I'm cutting through this. How do we keep His commandments? Well, our motive needs to be right. Number one, we love God, so we keep His commandments, loving Him. And then learning His commandments. I've got a list here, and I'm just going to mention a few of them. Have you ever just looked at the list of Jesus' commandments? The first thing, right out the chute, he says, repent. That's how he starts. Repent. That's how he starts preaching. First sermon. And then follow me. Let your light so shine. Don't lust. Go the second mile. Love your enemies. Practicing secret disciplines. You know, you're giving and you're praying in the closet and laying up treasure in heaven. Just looking at the list of Jesus' commands. So we're loving God and we're learning God. We're learning His commandments. You can't, if you love God, you're going to find out what He has to say. You're going to learn those things. And then, we love Him and we're learning. If we're in that pattern, guess what? We're going to live His commandments. You know what? His commandments are not grievous. You know, people say, man, it's just so hard to be a Christian. You ever hear people say, oh, it's just so hard to be a Christian. Last time I checked, it says the way of transgressors is hard. Would you rather be lost? I will take the hardness. It does say endure hardness. I'll take the hardness as a saved person rather than the hardship of being lost because you're going to hell, you know. So next time you think, man, it's so hard to be a Christian, read Job for a little bit. Think about what Jesus went through for us. And remember what Jesus said. He said, my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is what? Light. Whoa, it's just coming down on me, all this. Okay, you can find somebody in a worse situation than you. We'll live His commandments. If I were to ask who here loves Jesus, all hands go up. But he sent here to Philip. He said, look, you're seeing the Father. I and my Father are one. He comes down through all that. After Thomas had a question, he didn't get it. Philip had a question, and he finally just answers this and says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do our actions show that we truly love him? Because of that, having the desire to keep his commandments. Do our actions show that? If we did, if we really love him, we'd be making an effort to learn his commandments. It becomes a structure in your life. You know, letting your light shine, loving your enemies, all this becomes your reaction. If something kind of smacks you out there, your reaction would be one of Jesus' commands. It becomes part of you. It should anyway. So you love him, then you'll learn him, and then you'll make a real effort to live them. And it all hangs on just loving the Lord. Sometimes things get down on us, they're just like, Lord, just remember that place for us. A place for you. I love that phrase like that. A place for you. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Isn't the Word of God good? It's so good just to slowly go through and think about His Word and let it strengthen us, let it structure us, and as we read there, let it establish us. Gives us that stability to shine for Him. Let's pray.